Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by True Car. Now, it can be difficult to find clarity when you're trying to figure out why exactly a survivor lost the game. It can also be difficult to find clarity when you're looking to research the price of a brand new car. That is, unless, of course, you're using TrueCar.com or the True Car mobile app. So when you decide to go ahead and get a new car, so you're tired of going and getting some sort of Cambodian Uber tuk-tuk to drive you around with Keith Nail, sure, you want your own new car and you want to pick out exactly the features that are in it and get the best price for said car and see what other people are paying down to your zip code. People have saved over $3,000 off of MSRP just by using TrueCar.com without any of the hassles or the headaches or the severe gastrointestinal distress associated with purchasing a new car. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there are over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. You'll work directly with one of those dealers when you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. All right, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here to talk about why the latest two players lost the game. Why did Sierra and why did Steven Fishback lose the game? And here with me to talk about all this is the man who wrote these rules that we're going to talk about. Here he is, the great David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
Good. Recovering from Thanksgiving overload.
Oh, yes. I'm sure that West Nail somewhere also is in the same boat as you.
Yeah, hopefully no one was cooking turkey naked and, you know, splashing fat on themselves.
As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
Yeah, guess you're okay. All right,
good strategy to get through dessert.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so hope you had a nice holiday. We are back at it here today, recording all this stuff today on Monday after a long weekend following the two-hour episode. Well, I thought it was so strange that they did these two episodes on this Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, they used to blow off the week of Thanksgiving. We used to get clip shows or no episode at all. And I know that part of that was because they used to air actually on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But the night before, with so many people traveling, it just seems odd that they would give us a double dose and two such good episodes.
No, it really was kind of crazy. I mean, I guess they might have felt like, hey, Survivor fans are going to watch it no matter what. And this is going to be for our base. And that's really what we're doing this for here. But it ended up being a series low rating for the show. And it was a shame because it was two great episodes.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I can see why they put these two shows together because there was kind of a theme throughout them. I mean, you know, Steven was targeted. Yeah, that was the theme pretty much. Yeah. but I guess, I don't know. They have to put them at some point, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, thematically, it made sense for these two episodes to be together, but I feel like, you know, if they would have done a double episode this upcoming week, and I don't know, with Sweeps or whatever, and I think whatever's on after Criminal Minds is like, hey, we can't preempt Criminal Minds for 2 hours Survivor. So this is the only night that we're going to have a rerun of this. So I don't know exactly all the factors that go into it, but it was a shame because it was really two great episodes, and it would have been nice to have like the know-it-alls in its own recap after the first episode, after the Sierra episode. But such is life, and we will now discuss Sierra and Steven Fishback together, according to David's rules.
That's right. First, you know, we can talk about our predictions, although neither of us did terribly well.
Well, let's talk about the predictions, because I feel like at least I was half right, because I said in the first vote, I thought it was going to be one of the witches going home.
You were right about that, but you didn't exactly have the right circumstances.
Shut the front door.
Hey, does that matter? Because I feel like you got credit for Andrew Savage when Kelly idled him out of the game.
Well, if I'm the one giving the credit, that only makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll give myself.
It's funny how you got credit for your prediction of Andrew Savage going home, but I don't get credit for Sierra.
I'll give you credit for it. But I also get credit for Joe losing an immunity challenge.
Okay. Well, I believe I said I thought Joe would go home in the second one. So, yeah. So I feel like that I was even more right on that one.
Except he didn't go home.
He didn't go home, but at least I had the episode right where he wasn't going to win one.
Yeah. I said it could be either. I thought it was more likely the first. But, you know, I did say that it would be something that's out of his control. And at least in his claim, it was, he didn't even touch the blocks. They just fell. So I don't know if that was wind or or what, or just Joe making an excuse.
Those voting blocks?
No, no, no. See, voting blocks are spelled B-L-O-C.
Blocks
that you make that you stack
with
on
your
top
feet.
One another with your feet or with your hands are spelled B-L-O-C-K.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, apparently someone needs to tell the people at CBS.com this.
Okay. Well, it's a slow week. It's a holiday week. So cut everybody some credit for the holiday spirit.
Maybe they had some intern working on it.
You know. Yeah.
Force them to work on Thanksgiving.
All right. So predictions aside, we got so much to talk about with why Sierra and why Stephen Fishback lost the game. Your first rule says that a survivor must scheme and plot. Was this an issue for either Sierra or Stephen Fishback?
Well, I think both Sierra and Stephen did fine here. You know, both of them certainly knew they had to scheme and plot from the get-go. They both found themselves near the bottom of their tribal alliances, but they still managed to forge relationships that would carry them through the merge. Of course, Stephen, you know, thought that he was inventing new ways to play the game, and he used those voting blocks.
The guy literally thinks that he invented strategy.
Well, he is the best know-it-all.
That's what Andrew Savage told me. It said on the Survivor Wiki.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that, so... We don't need to rehash that here. You know, we talked about that already. But the main point is both of them made alliances. They changed those alliances, at least somewhat as necessary. Not a whole lot more to say in this rule because, unlike some previous players, they actually did a pretty good job.
So scheming and plotting was not the issue that they both, at least at a baseline level, were scheming and plotting. But here's the rub, David. Your rule number two is don't scheme and plot too much. AKA keep scheming secret and don't backstab until you need to.
Well, in Sierra's case, she had some problems with this rule, at least partially. For Stephen, maybe not so much. So we'll do Sierra first. You know, she was on the bottom for a long time and she knew it. She knew she had to do something to change things up. So she yelled at people to play the game in at least two different tribal councils. I would definitely count that as being too open with your scheming. You're telling those who control the game that they should be wary of you because you want to switch everything up.
At that point, though, I almost feel like that's just a side effect of that her position in the game was so compromised that she really was. That's like the last ditch resort. So I feel like if we're going to be talking about this, I feel like we almost need to talk about it from the things she did beforehand to get to that position, where it's almost like those are sort of like basically like last words as you're walking the plank at that point. And I don't feel like that's almost not where you really can, you know, pin too much of this on her. Is that fair to say?
It is. But I mean, that's where she was truly calling attention to it. I mean, if you really want to work with people, you need to pull them aside and say, I want to work with you, not yell at everyone in front of tribal council.
Yeah.
Because you're not only telling the people you want to work with, but you're telling the people you don't want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
That you're trying to change things.
You know, that might just be more for, you know, creating drama for the show in terms of like, hey, you know, I'm not just going to roll over and die than an actual plea for people to change their votes once you're at tribal council.
And that may be, I don't know where she's going with this in her own mind. Maybe she's just making her plea for third time's the charm. You know, hey, look at me. I'm telling people to play and I'm acting up in this tribal council. But whatever it did, like I said, to me, it drew too much attention to her.
In terms of keeping your scheming secret and don't backstab until you need to, is it safe to say at this point that Cass and Sierra, they backstabbed Andrew too early?
As in before the merge?
Yes, when they made their bold move. Because I think it's pretty fair. And again, I wasn't there. But if they end up going ahead with the plan and voting out Spencer as Andrew wanted to, do you feel like that they are still in the game at this point, or does Andrew have such a stranglehold, or they're in the game but they have no chance to win?
I think either they're out of the game or Andrew has such a stranglehold. I think that, you know, one way or the other, Stephen is probably still out because Andrew wanted Stephen out. And for Sierra and Cass, I don't think they had a choice, or at least not a good choice. And we also have to remember the merge came earlier than anyone could have predicted or expected. And so it gets back to that situation where they had a plan. It was a good plan based on the information that they had. It's just that the producers kind of screwed them over unintentionally.
For Sierra, you're saying that she did scheme and plot too much, and you feel like it was the way that she sort of like pounded the table when she was at tribal council about, hey, we got to change the game up.
Well, that's part of it. But, you know, in this particular situation, the vote only included a few people after Jeremy played the idol to save Steven. Steven had been trying to get his whole group going with the plan to target her, in large part because, as he said in his blog, she was strategic and crafty.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, he saw her as too schemey for his own good.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he believed she was targeting both him and Spencer. So we saw him trying to work with Sierra, and indeed he verified that he had been, which was part of his frustration because he wanted to be her ally. But what he was hearing was she was supposedly trying to get him booted.
Mm-hmm.
So he also said in a bonus confessional that he could work with the others, which left me scratching my head because really, Abby Maria, he could work with her. Okay, fine. You know, but he couldn't work with Sierra. She was doing too much ordering around and telling people what to do, which is particularly ironic considering what she thought of Savage doing that. But, you know, based on the Ponderosa videos and other information we now have, it seems Sierra wasn't necessarily the one pushing him as a target. She was more going along with the plan put out by Spencer. Although I have to be honest, I'm not sure what canon is on that anymore, because she said in her interview with you that she was indeed one of the people pushing for Steven. So, you know, which is more accurate, what she says 3 days later to Steven or what she says on the interview a couple months later? I'm not sure. But in any case, her reputation for wanting to really play and the idea that Steven had that she was targeting him is what made her the target for Steven and his group.
So then what about Steven?
Well, I think a lot of people expect me to say that he schemed and plotted too much, and I'm going to disappoint them.
Oh,
because the ironic thing is it's somewhat opposite here. He was betrayed by a trusted ally, not targeted for trying to make too many other allies. So, yes, people knew he was a strategist, but this is not anything new or different, you know, that suddenly attracted their attention. Steven Spencer didn't get his group to vote against Steven because they were worried that Steven was trying to out-scheme all of them. If anything, several of them would have been happier if Steven had been trying to over-scheme because it would have meant the possibility of them gaining ground against Steven and his alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from that standpoint, it was not scheming and plotting too much.
Yeah.
But there is a question that I have been asked, and I've seen Steven asked about it on Twitter, maybe not in these words, but did he scheme and plot too much by splitting the vote?
That's fair.
Yeah. Steven has replied to this numerous times in numerous venues at this point. And his main point is that he and his alliance thought Joe had an idol. Even those outside his alliance thought Joe had an idol, as Abby Maria talked about it in a bonus confessional. She noted that nobody knew if there was an idol at Angkor or one from the merge camp. Kind of amusingly, she said there might even be one right in front of them around the new shelter they built. Maybe that's why she was hanging around and annoying Kelly. But, you know, from what we heard, Joe was looking everywhere all the time. Tasha said it in a bonus confessional, too. To quote her, more than likely, he has the idol. So their main objective, if they couldn't get rid of Joe, was to at least flush the idol. Before Steven's blog and interviews and everything, I asked him on Twitter if the fact that Joe wasn't scrambling and appeared to feel safe also contributed to the opinion that he might have an idol. And Steven said that was it exactly. He played it very cool, which to Steven said, you know, under normal circumstances, this guy has to know he's going home, but he's just hanging out, relaxing. So he later then expanded on how comfortable Joe seemed, both in his blog and in his interview with you. With all of this in mind, vote splitting is definitely not scheming and plotting too much. It would have to be the best play in this situation, especially if you have trust in your allies, which Stephen did. If Joe did indeed have an idol and they had not split the vote, Stephen was definitely going home. If they split the vote and everyone stuck to the plan, Stephen was safe. So as with so many things on Survivor, it was actually all about who you can trust.
Let me just go back to the Joe thing, because I'm kind of fascinated by this part, but we haven't talked about it yet on the podcast. So what is the ultimate reason why Joe was pretty chillax before the vote? Was it A, that he felt comfortable in the plan that Spencer and company and Kelly Wentworth had put together, that he knew he was going to be okay based on the planning that they did? Is it B, where he wanted to give off the perception that he did have the hidden immunity idol, and the best way for him to do that was to stop looking for the hidden immunity idol? And actually, we've seen Malcolm try to do this in Survivor Karamoan, and I believe that Joe himself actually attempted this back in Survivor Worlds Apart at the point where, you know, Mike busts him for having the idol. And I think he's like basically like, okay, well, I don't have the idol, but if they think I do, then I guess that's as good as that. So my question is, could it also be C, like a Brenda Lowe, who sort of got chastised for not scrambling, not hustling? You know, which is it? Did Joe sort of give up? Did Joe try to fake everybody out by, you know, stopping his search for the idol, and because he wanted people to think he had the idol? Or was he just so confident in the plan that Spencer and everybody came up with that he didn't continue to try to hustle?
Well, I think on the Tyson cast, you guys kind of criticized Joe for not scrambling. And I just don't see Joe as a scrambler. He made a comment, and I can't remember exactly where it was. It might have been on the show. It might have been in a bonus scene, that he lost immunity and he's just going to have to put his trust in the social interactions that he has had and the friends he has made up to this point. That tells me that he believed that he was safe because people had told him he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't going to run around and try to scramble, because that's just not him. You know, I mean, if Joe came up to, I don't know, Steven and said, hey, I know we've been going at it, but wouldn't it be great if we teamed up this one time? Steven's not going to have a positive reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if Steven says yes, you know he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see any benefit for Joe in trying to run around. Either the plan works or it doesn't. And he really has very little ability to change things up, I think.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily going to Steven, who he knows Steven's been targeting him, but we've seen Joe work with Tasha before, and, you know, some of the people on the other side, and potentially try to, you know, get something else going. I suspect it's probably more that he was comfortable with the plan that Spencer and Kelly were pitching, to the point that he didn't want to try to upset the apple cart. And so I think it's probably more the first thing rather than a fake out, where if I stop looking for the idol, then people will think I have the idol. Because I think if that was the case, I feel like that would have been in the show.
Right. I agree. I do think, like you said, he just felt comfortable enough, which, you know, maybe that was a tip off, but apparently it was a tip off the other direction, thinking, oh, he is so comfortable, he must have the idol. I don't think that was his plan, but it certainly worked to his advantage.
So then we have acquitted Steven of scheming and plotting too much. Sierra has some blood on her hands on the scheming and plotting too much. Let's go to rule number 3 of be flexible. What about Sierra?
I would say Sierra was about as flexible as a player could be.
Yeah, anybody but me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
she's like, really? Okay, Joe, Steven, I don't care. Whatever. Right.
You know, she wasn't concerned about trying to stick to a plan or refusing to work with certain people. She wanted to play the game and get everyone else to play the game, preferably with her. And if that meant voting with one group this week and against them the next, she was perfectly fine with that.
She's open to it. What about the whole thing with Andrew Savage? Was she flexible enough to go with his plan of, hey, you're not the target, but people are going to put your name down?
Yeah, I don't know if that's flexibility so much as just realizing where your place is suddenly.
Mm-hmm. I thought she had a pretty compelling answer about that when I spoke to her in the exit interview about how she thought that it was very realistic Spencer could have an idol.
Right. That was the other part, that if you're the decoy and the other person has the idol, you're gone. So it's not just a matter of it highlights where people think you are in the overall hierarchy. It's a true risk.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a matter of flexibility. I think that was a matter of, you want me to do what?
Then what about Steven in terms of flexibility?
Yeah, he wasn't quite so flexible. And I'm not even talking about, you know, like balancing challenges.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first and foremost, we know he was going after Joe the White Whale. And, you know, I admit I've never read Moby Dick. I'm an engineer, not an English major. But as I understand the story,
real McCoyism.
I'm an engineer, damn it. You know, but as I understand the story, Ahab goes after the White Whale with a vengeance, and the whale ends up killing Ahab. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, wasn't Stephen predicting his own future by using that metaphor? Did the English major get Moby Dicked?
But it is possible. That is possible.
So you know, like I said, he was going after Joe the White Whale. And he seemed, from what we saw, to push that point of view over and over again. Now, I'm not saying it was a bad idea to target Joe, but as we've discussed in previous weeks, he should have toned it down a bit and maybe not even brought it up until Joe actually lost immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of not being flexible. I also think some of his inflexibility came in his plan to make big moves to give himself a good resume. I understand why he did it, especially after the way he lost to JT. But I feel like sometimes he could have dialed it back a little and let the game flow around him more.
Mm-hmm.
But he said in your interview that he essentially wanted to go big or go home.
Yeah.
Further, Tyson said on your Tyson cast that Steven went in needing to take charge and did that to a fault. But remember last week, I specifically brought up how Steven did not try to take charge when he approached the Witches' Coven. Rather, he asked them who they wanted to vote out.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, though, because he certainly wanted Joe out, but besides that, he appeared willing to listen. So he showed signs of flexibility in some situations, but probably not quite enough.
Let's talk about rule number four, which is don't let your emotions control you.
Well, I would say that both Sierra and Steven generally did well in not allowing their emotions to control them. As I already mentioned, Sierra was willing to do just about anything to keep moving forward in the game, so she was certainly not making her decisions based on emotions. And if anything, Steven was the opposite of overly emotional most of the time, based on what he said in a couple places. For example, on his blog, he said he tried to keep most of his relationships strategic and unemotional so people wouldn't feel betrayed at the end. But then he later realized maybe this was a problem in that he wouldn't get to the end. So, you know, I think Steven was generally good at keeping his decisions rational. But again, we have the Joe question. Was it rational or emotional to want him gone so badly?
Mm-hmm.
I would say both. I personally think everyone should want Joe gone for the obvious reasons. So I side with Steven there. It was important to Steven's game to get rid of Joe, so that would be a rational reason.
Mm-hmm.
But as emotional as Steven got about it in some confessionals, it's clear that it wasn't all based completely on logic, even if it was a logical decision in the end.
You know, it's tricky for Steven because I know he wants to be the big game hunter and put, you know, that pelt up on his wall of that. And he wants Joe out of the game for as much as that Joe is a threat to win the immunities, but also to have that in the resume, have that say, this was my move. I took out Joe. He was a big threat to win the game. And so I think for Steven, there is a little bit of an emotion in that. Not so much that he has a problem with Joe, but I feel like that it's a decision that's a little bit based on what I don't want to happen is to get to the final two again or the final three again and not have these moves that I can own.
Right, absolutely. So like I said, logical and emotional reasons for it, I think.
Yeah.
But there was one other aspect, and that is, did he rely too much on emotions when it came to trusting Spencer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steven elaborated on his relationship with Spencer in his interview with you. So they had apparently talked a lot pregame. They didn't make an official alliance, but they went so far as to create this fake Twitter account to throw shade on those who were making alliances.
I feel like that is a developing story.
Oh, you think that might be Steve fan fiction?
No, I don't think so. I just think that at some point, you know, there are good people out there who are really all over the internet who, if that claim is true, I think that that account will be discovered.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
So you're saying there are good investigators on this already?
Right. I would imagine that there are some people already working on that case, and I feel like that there will be at least a few Reddit threads that come up about this.
Well, in any case, so awaiting the results of those, you know, Steven said when Spencer arrived at Bayonne, you know, Steven pulled him aside, said, "You're safe." He'd steer the vote away, which is one reason he steered it towards Monica, things like that. So again, I'm sure Steven felt there was strategy in helping an ally, but did he trust that ally too much because of an emotional bond? I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think emotion definitely did come into it somewhat there.
You know, I think that Steven, while his reputation is that of, oh, you can't trust him because, you know, he's a schemer, I mean, in 68 days of playing Survivor, I hope my math is right on that, but Steven has pretty much stuck by his allies that whole way through. I mean, other than if you say, okay, he voted out Taj and like that was like killing them to vote out Taj at the final four. I mean, for the most part, I mean, Steven has stuck by the people that were his friends and his allies in the game. Almost you could even say to a fault that he's been so loyal to his friends in the game.
Right. And you and I thought, or at least I thought, that, you know, the same thing might happen here with Jeremy.
Yeah, with Jeremy.
But he said, no, he was planning on voting out Jeremy and Tasha at some point.
Well,
so that was the
easier
plan.
Easier said
anyway.
Than done. I mean, looking at the chessboard, I mean, I'm not sure like how that move was going to come together.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And again, you know, it brings us back to that question. I don't know if there was an emotional portion, but there is another problem. And this is outside of Steven himself, but both on Survivor and in real life, if you are being totally logical yourself, you still have to realize that everyone else might not be. So whether you're dealing with, oh, I don't know, a significant other, a political debate, or a fellow Survivor player, you sometimes need to recognize that even people you believe would be logical and rational can have their own minds affected by emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, regarding the reward, Steven said in his blog that he left Kimmy and Spencer behind because he trusted them to keep an eye out around camp. And he thought Spencer's, quote, highly rational game decisions wouldn't be based on a food reward. He then concluded in the blog, I clearly was mistaken. But here's the thing. I don't think he was mistaken, at least in part. And even Steven himself said in your interview that Spencer confirmed to him that he didn't target him for that reason. I do think they're related, though. He just misidentified the reason Spencer made his decision. He wasn't upset about being left out of reward. He was rationally noting that Steven seemed to have a tighter bond with Jeremy and Tasha than with him. He was the fourth wheel on a tricycle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with Steven making the decisions he made for the reward, but he should have discussed those with his allies ahead of time to make sure that no one was misinterpreting it. No one else was having an emotional reaction. Nothing like that was going on.
Well, I think that is still a story that has not been uncovered yet of why did Spencer feel like Steven was the target. I mean, Spencer could have easily said, boy, I really trust Steven. I know he's got my back. Tasha is the person. If I could get Tasha out of the way, then we can get JSS back together. So I feel like that's an interesting question to me of why did Spencer feel like the move he needed to make was to get Steven out?
I might have some answers to that in the sixth rule.
Okay.
But, you know, we have rule five to deal with first.
All right.
You know, the discussion we were just having leads us nicely into the social game aspect.
Okay. Which is rule number five. Pretend to be nice. Play the social game. Keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself.
So, as I mentioned, Stephen was actually trying not to be too social. But then he had to backtrack and fix up his bonds with Tasha and Spencer after they've both voted against him. Even with all of that going on, though, I don't think Stephen was targeted because of poor social gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the only thing he could have done differently here was to really butter up Spencer. But according to Stephen, he did that already after Sierra was sent packing. And it clearly did not work. So Stephen said on his blog that he worked hard to get on the same page as Spencer after that tribal council. They had kept their distance from each other prior to that in order to avoid being seen as a particular, you know, duo or threat. But Spencer told him that he'd voted against Stephen because he'd heard that Stephen was targeting Spencer. According to Stephen, this heart-to-heart discussion involved their personal life, their in-game relationships, etc.
Some conversation.
Yeah, some conversation. They resolved to work even closer after that. Well, so much for that. So I just don't think there was anything more he necessarily could have done with his social gameplay, you know, based on what we heard from that aspect of things.
No, it doesn't seem like the social game was a factor for Stephen. What about for Sierra?
I'd say she was in a similar place in that she wasn't targeted due to any flaws in her social game. You know, I mentioned before that Stephen even wanted to work with her, and everyone left in the game seemed to get along with her. Sure, she screwed up and attacked Savage right after the merge while trying to draw attention away from Cass, but both Cass and Savage are gone now, and I think that incident has pretty much faded away into the mists of time for the remaining players, so I just don't think it was an issue.
What about rule number 6, which I think is going to be pretty important here, is don't be too much of a threat.
Yeah, this is where we find the real meat of our stories here.
Okay, so I'm a meat collector.
As I mentioned last week, almost everyone this season has said or could say they were voted out as a threat. So, okay, what about these two cases? Well, as we already discussed, Stephen targeted Sierra because he thought she was going after him. Obviously, that makes her a threat. Turns out that maybe he was wrong, that she was going along with the real person targeting him, but that doesn't change the perception at the time. She was perceived as a threat. And we did see Sierra talking to a number of people, including right in front of Steven's ally, Kimmy, about wanting to get rid of Stephen. Plus, her overall level of gameplay certainly made her more of a threat than, say, Abby Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Abby Maria, she said in a bonus confessional that before Sierra was voted out, she thought they were about to grab the game and have smooth sailing. So again, there was an overall threat of the witches taking control. And you mentioned that too, that it was time to get rid of a witch before they had too much power.
Well, that's really, the witches have powers. You got to worry about that.
That's right.
Okay, magic.
Boil, boil, trouble and toil. Isn't that it?
Sneaky.
Sneaky powers.
Okay, so Sierra certainly was a threat coming in, and I feel like that people knew what she's capable of.
Right, and especially, like I said, Stephen, who he and his fellows were the only ones that cast votes that mattered, that tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
So really, they're the only ones to whom it mattered. Was she a threat? And yes, she was a threat to them.
What about Stephen?
Well, he said in his day after video that he knew he was a big threat the minute he stepped off the boat.
He was.
And people were targeting him. And we knew that because they told Josh and, you know, various other people, yes, I'm going after Stephen. He said if he left camp for any reason, people thought he was looking for idols. And, you know, at some of the points, he probably was. In the end, he said, he was voted out as a big threat. Now, Stephen should know, we'll be the ones to judge if he was voted out as a threat.
Wow.
Yeah.
This back is wrong.
Well, I would say Fishback is right.
Yeah, he's right. I just want to get a lot of mileage out of that.
That's right. That's right. Too bad he wasn't wrong twice, so you could have had the Fishback was wrong again.
Yeah, I could clip it together.
Yeah, there you
Yeah. No, of course he's voted out for being a threat. And right. Here's the thing about it. The problem with his advantage, where that just like amplified the amount that he was a threat. So he was like a threat that was like in very top of mind. But then once he got the advantage, it was a hyper threat.
Well, you're jumping the gun a little bit on me here.
That's what I do.
Yeah, because, you know, I have to admit the whole advantage thing has me a bit up in the air. So Stephen did note that Spencer was probably worried about the advantage, and Spencer talked a lot about Stephen being a threat because of the advantage. But the timing on this has me a little confused, because Stephen told Spencer what the advantage was and how he was going to play it at this tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
If the advantage was the reason for the target, shouldn't that have allayed Spencer's fears? I would think so. Maybe it was a little too late. You know, it brings up the question, what if Stephen had told Spencer what it was and how he planned to use it sooner? Would that have taken some of the target off of him? I don't know. I'm thinking no, because Stephen was still the same threat. But that brings the question back to whom was he a threat? At the moment, he wasn't a threat to Jeremy or Kimmy or Tasha or Keith. He was obviously a threat to Joe. Kelly probably saw him as a threat to her game plan. And of course, like you mentioned, Spencer. It's obvious now, wasn't at the time, but he saw him as the biggest threat of all. So I think we have to look at the entirety of what Spencer saw. No matter how many times Jeremy may have told Spencer that he'd have used the immunity idol on him the same way that he used it on Stephen, I got the sense in watching that Spencer didn't believe him one bit. Just the looks on Spencer's faces were like, oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw Stephen as being higher up in that alliance. And indeed, he was right. Jeremy had said on Twitter last week that Stephen was the person he trusted the most, though he did say Spencer was second in the list of trust at the time. I would say that, you know, not so much right now.
Oh, snap.
Spencer also saw Stephen take Jeremy and Tasha on the reward, as we discussed. Again, Spencer was left out. Eliza on Twitter joked, at least I think she was joking.
We were citing an Eliza joke?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That, all information. You know, that Spencer was jealous because Stephen won the only intelligence-based challenge. Now, all kidding aside, I do think that may have been a factor because Spencer's already coming in second to Joe
David,
on many challenges.
Come on. Come on. He wanted to vote out Stephen because he beat him in the reward?
Well, come on. He was, like I said, he was coming to Joe. He was coming in second to Joe already, and now he's coming in second to Stephen? You know, that was just...
He already voted for Stephen in the first hour of that two-hour block.
I know. This, you know, that just made it the cherry on top of the Stephen ice cream sundae threat.
Yeah. I don't know. That one to me is a little...
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah, Eliza's a joke teller.
Yes. But, you know, okay, fine, maybe not. But it certainly didn't help things any. And also, looking ahead to the end game, certainly Stephen would be a threat to win if he made it to the end, besides being a threat to vote out everybody but, well, we thought, maybe Jeremy or Kimmy or maybe Tasha. You know, from Spencer's standpoint, he didn't know what Stephen's plan was, even if Stephen could execute it. So, you know, then it brings up the question, was Stephen more of a threat than Joe? Or should Spencer have helped get rid of Joe when they had the chance and then waited to go after Stephen? There are people on either side of this debate, as you might be aware, you know, if you've read Twitter at mm-hmm. all. I feel like Joe is enough of a threat that he should have been dealt with as soon as the opportunity presented itself. And then Spencer could have blindsided Stephen later without as much of a problem, especially if Spencer got rid of the guy who kept winning immunities and maybe won some himself.
Yeah.
So Sarah Freeman, who used to write for me and now you, debated this a bit on Twitter the day after the episode. Sarah came to the conclusion that she liked the move to not vote out Joe. I didn't. And I said, well, you know, if Joe runs the immunity table, we'll point back to this and say, told you so. She countered that we shouldn't use results-based logic looking back. And, you know, she's right about that. But my point was that Joe can win almost any immunity. So what do you do to prevent this? Her suggestion? Start finding ways to trash Joe in front of the jury starting immediately.
Ooh.
So, you know, even if he gets there by means of winning all these challenges, maybe you plant some seeds in the jury's head. Now, no matter what you do, I think Andrew and Kelly will probably vote for Joe, or rather Sarah thought that, and I agreed. Everybody else potentially up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to hope that strategy beats the challenge beast.
But interesting.
But at the same time, Joe could point to this very vote and say, well, my strategy for sticking around was making the social bonds that kept me here even when I lost immunity and everybody was talking about how they were going to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have a point, because Spencer obviously wasn't the only one to make that decision. On Twitter, Kelly said it was not at all a tough decision to keep Joe instead of Steven. And then later, after Steven's blog came out and he gave a fishy to Joe for sticking around, Kelly went on Twitter to disagree, saying, maybe Joe didn't deserve that fishy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she bothers to go on Twitter and say that unless she feels others had a more significant role than Joe in ensuring things happen that way.
And feels strongly about
right.
it.
Right, right.
And I would side with Kelly here.
Yes, exactly. So they even managed to convince Keith that this was a plan he could stick to.
Yeah. I want to go back to the Spencer thing, because for me, so much of this depends on what is Spencer's next move in the game. I know that's not exactly what we're here to talk about, but do you think that Spencer sticks with this new group of five, or does he go back to his old group?
Well, and that's a good question, because that's actually the plan that I was just talking about with Keith. What Keith said in a bonus scene was that he was part of this group, himself, Joe, Spencer, Abby, and Kelly, and they were taking out Steven. And it's simple, which is the type of plan that he likes. You know, simple plan, take out Steven, then take out Jeremy, and so on.
Yeah.
Now, I doubt in this season it'll be that simple, but that's what Keith believed at the moment. And maybe that is what Spencer does, because if you look at these two groups, who contains the bigger threats? I would say Jeremy and Tasha are bigger threats than Keith and Abby Maria.
Right. You have Joe, who's the biggest single immunity threat on that side, but otherwise it's a bit of a mishmash with no super strong alliances between Abby, Kelly Wentworth, and Keith Nail on that side. And then you have sort of a more traditional big alliance or tight alliance with Jeremy and Kimmy, who've been together the whole time, and Tasha, who also, according to Steven, Jeremy and Tasha are also pretty tight. So it seems like it would make all the more sense to go with this new group, especially considering that it's eight. There's no vote advantage still in the game. So what's Spencer going to do? Force a 4-4 tie? And is that group going to accept him back with open arms? So the only logical move you would think for Spencer would be to continue to vote with this new group of five.
Right. I mean, it's a risk.
At least for this next vote.
Right. But even looking further down the line, it's a risk to go further with Joe. I don't think I'd want to take that risk, but it appears to be one that Spencer and Kelly at least are okay with taking.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the advantage and the question, what if he had told him sooner? I think it doesn't matter, probably.
Yeah.
I think that the advantage was not the main thing that caused Spencer to go after him. There were all these other factors. It might have been one more straw, but I don't even think it was the last straw.
So you're saying that the key is we need to uncover this Twitter account. It has all the answers.
Well, or when Spencer gets voted out or wins the game and you interview him, you know, find out what he has to say about all
oh, yeah.
this. Or else, you know, we can do a freedom of information request to see all their all their text messages.
Like Tom Brady?
Yes, yes.
Hold on. Wait, I'm getting some news in my ear. Hold on one second.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right. It is being reported Spencer has destroyed his phone. Oh, no. Sources are reporting Spencer has destroyed his phone. Well, I guess we'll never know.
That he goes through a phone like every 2 weeks, and it's really, he didn't do it on purpose. He wasn't trying to avoid anything. He just goes through a phone every 2 weeks.
All right. Let's talk about rule number 7, which is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Would you say that everybody else got it right and they voted out 2 strong players this week?
Yes, I think they got it right. Players are still voting out the strong, as they should be. Sierra and Steven were both strong players, even if they weren't necessarily strong in immunity challenges. Certainly, I've made the case that I would think Joe would be a stronger target. But we know it doesn't always come down to literal brute strength. As Stephen pointed out, Spencer likely targeted him for one of the same reasons that Stephen targeted Joe. It gives him a point on his resume if he makes it to the end. And you only get that point if it's a strong player you're targeting. So certainly neither Sierra nor Stephen would ever be considered a weak target.
So our first appendix is do whatever it takes to get idols. We know Stephen certainly is going to do whatever it takes to get idols and advantages.
Yeah, but they seem to just gravitate to Kelly instead. I don't know. It must be that witch's power that they have. Yeah, and, you know, I think that they were probably all looking for idols in some way or another, but Sierra and Steven just didn't find them. Discussing some of the idol play, some people have questioned Jeremy's use of the idol to save Steven, but Jeremy, at least, has stood by it, and he's explained it multiple times on Twitter. Yes, it only ended up buying Steven 3 more days, but they didn't know that at the time. What Jeremy knew was that he saved a very trusted ally and bought even more trust and possibly a jury vote at the end if he gets that far. So he also at least got a reward out of it when Steven won, if nothing else. So I think he was right to use it, especially given that he has another one.
The other appendix is the final tribal council.
Right, the jury phase. So while there wasn't much consideration here in terms of getting in good with the jury, certainly getting rid of a threat to beat you at the end is a good idea. And I also think that Spencer may believe that even though he voted out Steven, Steven has enough of a gamer's mentality that he will recognize and reward good gameplay, even when it was aimed at him. So if Spencer makes it to the end, he may well be able to get Steven's vote.
But do you believe that?
That he could actually get it?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, Steven hasn't shown any bitterness, really, either at the time or since then. What he has said is it was a good gameplay. I blame myself. It would certainly have to depend who he's up against. I mean, if it's Spencer versus Jeremy, Jeremy gets the vote, no doubt. If it's Spencer versus Tasha, maybe Tasha. If it's Spencer versus just about anyone else, I don't know. He may reward the person who he thinks played the best game.
All right, David. So let's start to put this all together. We talked about our 7 rules. We talked about our appendix. So what do you believe is the reason why Sierra and Steven lost?
Well, before I get there, I want to vent a little.
Vent.
About the people who were talking in tribal council about how the White Rock, Black Rock pick could be a $1 million decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, that's not why Sierra lost.
Right.
Let's face it. The odds were significantly in Joe's favor to beat all of them. It didn't matter.
Talk about when we do our probabilities of Joe in every challenges. When you make it a 50-50, he's just going to have to beat out Keith.
Right.
Good odds.
But Sierra wasn't going to beat him. That's not why she lost, because she decided to, you know, vote for the shelter instead. So, okay, I vented about that. Also, talking about Stevenson, he noted in his blog that you and Tyson had warned him that because he'd never been voted out, he might not retrospectively see the hints leading up to that point. And
I would say that probably give Tyson a little more credit on that. That sounds like more of like, I think I gave Steven some different advice, but I don't think that was exactly what I said to him. I think that sounds more like something Tyson said. And maybe it was something that Tyson said while on a podcast with me.
Well, whatever it was, maybe he was just kissing up to the boss, you know,
but doubtful, but go ahead.
But, you know, he admitted he'd missed those signs until the tribal council when Jeremy saved him. So, you know, that was good advice if it was yours. But I also as we wrap up, want to compare what Stephen thinks he did wrong to what we've talked about. He listed some of these things in the blog while noting that everyone does a lot wrong and a lot right throughout their time in the game. So, what he thinks he did wrong is that he should have played the advantage right away, he shouldn't have trusted Spencer so much, and he shouldn't have split the vote. But honestly, I'm not sure I agree with any of these, because each of them requires a certain amount of omniscience. He thought Spencer was a trusted ally, and those feelings, as you certainly know, are all you have to go on out there. Everyone thought Joe had an idol, and he could have. So what if Joe did have an idol and they didn't split the vote? Everyone would be screaming about how dumb a move that was, just like they were when Savage was voted out. So the fact is that several pieces all had to come together in just the right way for Stephen to be voted out this particular tribal council. They had to believe Joe had the idol, Stephen had to trust Spencer, and they had to split the vote. If even one part wasn't in play, it would have been a different result. So instead of what Stephen said, I think the main reason for both Sierra and Stephen is the one we've heard from so many players this season, some of whom were right, some of whom were wrong. They were threats. Sierra was also seen as scheming and plotting too much for Stephen's liking, while Stephen was not flexible enough in his thoughts about how to play this time around, and may have been a bit blinded by how he perceived his friendship with Spencer. But compared to the threat level aspect for both of them, everything else paled in comparison. Sierra was targeted by Stephen and company for being a threat to them. Stephen was targeted by Spencer and company for being even more of a threat than Joey Amazing. Enough of a threat for Stephen to turn on him, despite the fact that Stephen trusted him so completely. And that is why Sierra and Stephen lost.
So now we move ahead, down to the final eight. Where do we go from here? What happens next?
Well, obviously, my prediction for a top two, that was blown out of the water, since Stephen will not be coming in second to Jeremy.
Yes.
So, you know, what does that mean now for the far future? I'm not sure. Some have surmised that Spencer thinks he can go back and still work with Jeremy. As
it doesn't
I
make any sense right now, though, because yeah, it's going to be a 4-4 tie if that other group sticks together.
Right. It's possible in the long haul, but certainly not right away. At least Keith thinks this was the beginning of the larger plan to get rid of Jeremy, Kimmy, and Tasha. So, you know, Keith might have the right plan here. But personally, I'm not relying on him for any strategic advice. So I think this caused enough of an upset that things are really just going to shake up. With that in mind, my original pregame prediction was that Kelly Wentworth would do very well, and I find myself gravitating back to that. So I think she's going to work her way up to the top.
What are you seeing there? What is it that's making you feel that way?
Just the way she keeps surviving, the way she keeps working with different people, and the way she has good relationships with lots of the people left in the game who are in power. You know, Joe's not going to go after her because she helped save him. I think Spencer will try to stick with her. You know, if it looks like Spencer's getting too much power, I could even see her flipping to the other side. She is willing to do what it takes to move ahead, and I think that's what's necessary.
But I feel like the other side has shown no interest to work with her yet at this point. Like, I feel like that they've been pushing. I feel like Jeremy was actually leading the charge to vote her out on the vote where Andrew Savage went home.
Well, like you said, yet. If they're in dire straits, then I don't think beggars can be choosers.
Sure. I just don't know if they're in dire straits, why she would go and work with the people that are in dire straits.
Right. I tend to suspect she won't. I'm just saying she has the ability to, if that's a decision she makes.
Yeah. I know she's in a good spot right now. I'm interested to hear, you know, the logic behind, you know, why you think that she's, you know, a real threat to go and take this thing at this point.
Well, you know, I used logic to determine why Stephen was going to come in second. So maybe going with a gut is better in this particular case.
Yeah. I mean, I could see this thing just completely like devolving, sort of like, you know, Reservoir Dogs type style, where now Spencer has made himself into a threat and he gets taken out and Jeremy gets taken out and Joe gets taken out, to the point where, you know, these people that were worried about being sort of the big threats are gone. And then, you know, it ends up being a battle of, you know, between, you know, Tasha, Keith Nail, Kelly, Abby Maria. I think at that point, yeah, I would very much put my money on Kelly or Tasha in that scenario.
Right. And Kelly has something Tasha doesn't, which is Abby Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful as the numbers get smaller. If she can hold on to Abby Maria, then, I mean, she gets two votes every tribal council. And
doesn't have to steal one.
Right, yes.
And an idol.
And that's right. And the idol. And she also has a good goat for final tribal council.
That's nice. That's nice if you can hang on to Abby for dear life.
Right, right. Whoever thought we'd be saying that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, for next week specifically, we saw the preview. Looks like someone gets injured. That's pretty clear. It's not clear to me if it's a contestant or a loved one. If it is a contestant...
I didn't even think it could be a loved one. Has a loved one ever been medevaced out of the game?
I don't think so.
Well, this would be huge. This would be a major thing. A survivor first.
Right, because, okay, let's say it is a loved one. The contestant may have to face a choice of whether or not they have to stay in the game. You know, if someone's dad is there and he gets conked on the head, are they going to stay in the game and keep playing, or are they going to go to the hospital with him?
Well, I think that's got to be like a life-threatening injury at that point. I think for somebody to leave to go be with the person who got injured.
I would think so too, but at least, you know, wanted to throw that out there because it is a possibility.
Right. Like if Dale shows up this week and ends up getting conked on the head, you know, I think it's really got to be a matter of, boy, you know, we could lose Dale right now. We need you to go to the hospital.
Right, right. Now, it's funny you mentioned Dale because in the preview, we see Kelly, Abby, Kimmy, and Tasha wandering around. We know it's not I would say it's not one of their loved ones. And we know the person who's injured is a male just by the use of pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be Joe, Spencer, Keith, Jeremy, or a male loved one. Now, I didn't cross-reference all the male loved ones to know who that could be. But like I said, it's not one of the women's loved ones. So, you know, there's the question of what is going to happen there because we can't predict that. Is it going to be a medevac? Is it going to be a loved one? And even if it does, is there going to be a vote? You know, what does the numbers game tell us for getting from here to final tribal council? What do you think the numbers tell us?
To get to the final three, we need to have to go from 8-7, 7-6, 6-5, 5-4, 4-3. So that means we need to have 5 more votes. There are but 4 hours of Survivor remaining in this season.
That makes a medevac sound kind of likely, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I have not gotten any sort of signal that there'll be a medevac yet this week from, you know, the way that the episode is being talked about. Expect a medevac.
Okay. So you think there's going to be an episode with 2 tribal councils at some point?
Yeah, I think that that'll be the case.
Okay. One way or the other, you know, I think there's going to be a vote. I don't think there's going to be a medevac and no vote.
I agree.
There'll be a medevac and a vote, or just a kind of a false alarm medical situation and a vote. This gets back to what we were talking about. Is it going to be Jeremy? Or, since it's a loved one related challenge, maybe the loved ones have to play, and that means Joey Amazing won't be able to do it himself.
Hmm.
Which could mean he's available to be voted off again. Will the others stand by and watch a second opportunity pass them?
Boy.
Yeah.
That's so tough, because then you could do it with the numbers, because it's a 5-3 advantage with Joe. And you could vote out Joe and keep your numbers as 4-3. I mean, you could keep it as Abby, Kelly, Keith Nail, and Spencer. That foursome could stick together. That was the foursome that voted out Steven.
They could. The question is, will Keith go along with that? Because from what we've heard, Keith and Joe were kind of acting as a duo, and Keith thinks the plan is go after Jeremy next. So someone would have to sit down with Keith and explain to him new plan.
I know we're not really uncovering anything new here, but you know, I don't really understand Keith logic, where it seems like Joe is his tightest ally, but he's the person who's like, well, I had to kill the golden boy. We got to go after him.
Right. Unless we're just seeing the public face of Keith saying that. I can't remember if I've seen it in confessionals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Although now that you mentioned it, I feel like I have. But sometimes, as again, you would no doubt know better than I, those confessionals are based on someone asking them a question. Well, what would be your reason for voting out Keith? And then he answers, and that's the clip that they use. So,
Like Joe is vulnerable here?
I do feel like Joe's vulnerable. And I know that, I said that before, and it didn't work out for me. But I just have to think they're not going to let Joe keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he loses immunity, don't you have to get rid of him this time? Or do you just keep on chugging along and get rid of the Jeremy?
Could this happen? How about this? The group of five sticks together and they put their votes on Jeremy. That's the plan. Okay, Jeremy is going to get voted out, but Jeremy still has his idol.
Oh, snap.
So then the question becomes, who would Jeremy and his group want to get out? And if Joe has immunity, it could be Spencer.
It could. If he doesn't have immunity, then both scenarios could be correct. So if Joe doesn't have immunity, the group still goes ahead and says, nope, Joe, we're sticking with you through thick and thin. We're targeting Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
They target Jeremy. Jeremy uses the idol. Joe goes home.
Yeah.
So both of us end up being, correct in that situation.
But would they split the vote in that scenario? I mean, Jeremy just played an idol on Steven. He has another idol.
Well, right. And also splitting the vote doesn't help you.
Right.
Three votes get canceled out. And then either Joe or Spencer may well be screwed if they decide to target Jeremy. And like you said, I doubt they have any reason to think he has a second immunity idol.
I mean, that was the biggest benefit out of playing the first idol on Steven.
Right.
That people won't think he has a second idol.
I mean, unless they really overthink it and say, well, would he have played it if he had only one? So then clearly he must have two because, Val had two in her season.
Yes. All right. So interesting stuff. Should be a very fun episode coming up this week. All right, David, any final thoughts?
We need a hashtag.
Okay. What do you got?
I think Moby Dicked.
There you go. Is that MOBYDICKD?
I'd say ED.
Okay. There you go. All right. So Steven totally got Moby Dicked over. And so we'll talk about all this and much more when we come back for Survivor Know-It-Alls this Wednesday night. All right. Follow David Bloomberg on Twitter. He is at David Bloomberg. He is asking inquiring questions of the survivors on Twitter.
Yes, always.
Yes. And then we're going to do our recap podcast with Malcolm Freeberg. Very excited about this because I do feel like to some degree, I think this post-merge has reminded me a bit of Survivor Karamoan. So I am looking forward to picking Malcolm's brain a bit. And of course, he also played with Abby Maria.
No, it doesn't remind you of anything. This is a whole new game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Completely new season. So that's going to do it here for us. Looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com. And again, we always appreciate your shopping on the amazon.com. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon for all of your holiday shopping. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.